B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily for Friday, July 19th, 2019. Your home for esports and gaming. Want to thank everyone listening on the Talk of Las Vegas, 101.5 FM and 720 AM, as well as KJR 950 in Seattle, Washington. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, are you ready to go to Gamer Church?
Oh, yes. We're going to Gamer Church.
I'm sorry, what?
That's correct. Gamer
that's
Church.
That's right. Sit down in the pews. We're going to Gamer Church. Plus, what are you hoping to hear out of the SDCC panel that Marvel is throwing? Those conversations are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But we start today talking about a movie trailer that dropped yesterday.
Oh, God.
For the musical, the Andrew Lloyd Webber musical, Cats. And I think I can sum up everyone's feelings on this trailer with... Oh, my God! What is it? Kill it! Kill it with fire! Oh, my God!
Settle down, old man.
Well, that's about it, though.
I mean, he's not
accurate,
but...
It's pretty accurate. Here's the thing, all right? Cats already was one of the creepiest things ever conceived of by human beings, right?
Because it's on stage in a theater, it's allowed to be weird.
Well, not only that, you embrace its weirdness and its hokiness in the costumes. Back in the day, were very clearly costumes and people in makeup and you know, fur and stuff, right? Cats already is terrible, but here's what makes
it's
this
an Andrew Lloyd Webber musical. Yeah, it's all kinds of terrible.
Yeah, here's what makes this trailer even more terrifying than we could have ever possibly imagined. Okay. Is the fact that there's suits, there's makeup, and then you can tell there's like a CG overlay.
So it hits the uncanny valley perfectly.
Yes.
Why do some of them wear clothes and other ones don't wear clothes?
Well, okay, of all the terrible things you could have pulled out of that trailer, that's what you extracted?
That's one of them.
I mean,
it's one of many.
Mm-mm. For me, first of all, Jason Derulo's in this movie, and I'm like, where he been?
Everybody's in this movie.
Second of all... It's just, the more I see it, the more I realize that, guys, and I hate to say this, but this is Sonic Fox's fault.
This is the furries.
There's
a reason. There's
fault.
A reason that like 45 minutes after the trailer dropped, the top trending thing on Twitter was furries.
Yep.
There's a reason for
Persona
that.
Friday.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Geez.
Norris. Here's the thing. Okay. I don't understand how you can have the trailer for It 2 drop on the same day, and it's not the scariest trailer out there for a movie.
Oh, I definitely watched those trailers back to back today, and yeah, the Cats one is way creepier.
It's horrifying.
The harder thing to figure out, though, is this is a hell of a cast. Like, the cast that they have in this, Idris Elba, Judi Dench, Ian McKellen, James Corden, Taylor Swift, my God.
I mean, but it's Cats, you know what I'm saying? It's like Les Miserables, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's one of those things that even people who don't go to the theater know that play.
Even in theater, when you talk about it as an art form and you're like, you know, name like a really fancy play, Cats is the one people always go to.
Right.
Because it's been on Broadway for eternity.
Exactly. You don't say, like, you know what I'm saying, like Waiting for Godot or anything like that. No, people say Cats, Les Miserables, maybe Miss Saigon, Hamilton.
Wicked's catching
Wicked.
Up now. Yeah.
Wicked.
Yeah.
So we got about like five, and The Lion King.
Yeah.
So we got like six plays really that any average human being could name, you know, at any given time. Cats is probably at the top of that list. So I can understand why they're trying to make a movie about it, but I feel like I'd just rather them make it with like completely CG'd anthropomorphic cats. Like, don't use actors.
Yeah.
Just use upright cats.
Use cats.
Use cats.
How is this not a Baz Luhrmann movie, right? it looks like a Baz Luhrmann movie, right? Like I'm watching the trailer and I'm like, God, there's so much Moulin Rouge that exists in here, and with the weird camera movements.
Oh, wow. Now that you say it, I see it, man.
How is this not a Baz Luhrmann movie? Like, I mean, I get that he was working on The Get Down, but, like, just, to me, I was very surprised not to see his name attached to this.
All right, so we're moving forward with the assumption that this is not a horror movie, right?
Yeah, it sure looks like one.
I get that, but I won't
be seeing it.
I don't think Cats is supposed to be a horror movie.
No, I don't think so.
So that got me thinking, like, are there any other movies that you remember, like, maybe from when you were a kid that was not a horror movie, but it definitely terrified you?
Oh, easily. Mm-hmm. Easily. The Dark Crystal. See,
Was it the Skeksis?
Yeah.
Or was it the Gelflings?
All of it.
See,
The whole thing.
I'd have went with that as well, and while it wasn't supposed to be a scary movie, there were still elements of it that were supposed to be creepy.
Dude, that movie could have been the exact same puppets just on Sesame Street for all I care. It could have been the most random regular thing, and I still would have been freaked out because the puppets are the scariest thing. Dude, when they announced that Dark Crystal game for the Switch, yeah, I was like, no, not just no, a hard.
You show you're not.
That's just no. A little.
You're not going in for the sequel.
Though.
Come on, that's going to be on Netflix next month.
That's a prequel.
Prequel?
I think it's a prequel. No.
It's August 30th. Yeah.
No,
they gave it a date.
No,
yeah.
All right, when I see the promos for it and everything,
Norse.
I need to know the history of the Gelfling.
You see the old Hobbit cartoon with Gollum with his big, like,
the
yellow
animated one,
orb,
yeah,
eyes. Yeah, yeah, he's in, like, that stone boat.
Oh, the Ralph Bakshi movie.
Is that the Ralph Bakshi
version? That
one?
Is the Ralph Bakshi version, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, where he's just, man.
I love that movie.
That version of Gollum in particular, even today.
Really?
Like,
what is it? Is it the voice? Is it the voice or the animation?
Everything about it. I think specifically,
he's far more reptilian.
Specifically the eyes, though, and, like, how his skin hangs off of him.
Yeah.
Just... that's the one.
Yeah.
I love
Ralph Bakshi, man.
Oh, like, yeah.
He just had such a great visual aesthetic.
Not this.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. We're currently talking about movies that have freaked us out that have not necessarily been horror movies. And I'm desperately trying to grasp for one.
How do you not have one?
Well, because Nate doesn't get freaked out because he watches weird, obscure stuff.
Here's
fairly regularly.
Like
Meet the Feebles should be the one that he comes up with.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand why it would do that to other people, but by the time I had seen it, I had already had such a weird and twisted sense of humor that I just thought it was hysterical.
Mm-hmm. The Room.
No, The Room's just dumb. I'm really trying to think of something because, like, the only thing that I think maybe even counts, because, like, the only movies that have ever really scared me ever in my life have been The Exorcist, the first time I saw
it
at 3:00 in the morning with no one else awake. That freaked me out. The other one was The Blair Witch Project. I've told that story on this show a bunch of times.
Yeah.
Friend of mine bought it from Dixieland Flea Market before it was even, you know, it even got the wide theatrical release. So nobody knew what it was. And he thought it would be hilarious to show us at a sleepover. And that was the most frightened I've ever been at a movie. I was not like 9 or 10.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean? Like once the bar's been set that high, they are scary movies,
yeah,
right? Like, I think the only one that qualifies is Akira.
That's not a horror movie.
That's a good one.
But that scene where what's her name? Kyrie?
Yeah.
She gets absorbed and she gets crushed to death.
Yeah.
That scene has always stayed with me.
Yeah.
And is freak. I have nightmares about that. Like, yeah. I have nightmares about that exact scene. But I think that's the only thing that counts, man.
E.T.
E.T.
Really? E.T. was supposed to be like this, you know, cool little adventure, like, you know, kid meets alien. If I just saw E.T. as a kid, I'd have hit it with a stick.
Yeah.
I had stuffed animals of E.T.
No.
Yeah.
No.
They were awesome. He was my little buddy.
No. I'd have burned it. Mm-mm. I'd have burned it.
Alpha's a way better alien.
He was nice and soft. Mm-hmm. Way was able to alien. Cuddle with him.
No.
I loved my E.T. stuffed animal.
No. Oh, you know, it's another one that is not necessarily scary, but is very creepy, and it creeped me out as a kid, which is messed up, but it's one of my favorite films, is Ninja Scroll. First time I saw Ninja Scroll, I was like, I can't make it through this. I think it was one of the first time that anime was that violent that I saw. I was like, oh my God.
I have one like that too, but it's going to make you laugh. Mm. I loved the Brave Little Toaster, but there were some scenes in that were...
There are some weird moments in that movie.
When the air conditioner dies.
Crazy and dies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Actually, you know what? You know what? I think as a kid, the Secret of Nim freaked me out.
That's a, mm-hmm.
The owl, specifically the owl, I think freaked me out. But like as an adult, I watch that when I'm sick.
Oh, it's a great movie.
Like if
it's a wonderful movie.
Like my tummy hurts, I'll get some Verner's and some cracker, and I'll sit down and I'll watch Secret of the Nim.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so. The one that I remember as a kid that like terrified me was Twister. That movie scared the bejesus out of me.
Really?
What? I loved
Twister. I was afraid of thunderstorms as a kid. That movie did not help that issue.
Right, fair enough.
And Jurassic Park. Like, not a really scary movie, but...
Really?
Like, yeah, the sequence... I remember this specifically when I was probably, like, 7. Like, I was pretty young.
Yeah.
But the sequence of just, like, the loud stomps as the T-Rex is approaching for the first time.
The glass of water shaking.
Yeah sure.
Do you know how they got that effect? Because they struggled. They struggled for,
to
like...
get it to droplet like that?
To get it to ripple way. What they did was they mounted a bass guitar amp underneath it, and someone was just plucking an open bass guitar string to make it do that. Yeah, they tried a bunch of... There was like a whole thing about that. Like, I don't know. I was super into Jurassic Park when it came out.
Right.
Saw it in the theater. I had never seen anything so cool. I came away totally obsessed with raptors.
Who wasn't obsessed with raptors?
Yeah, raptors. What was the spitter dinosaur?
The Dilophosaurus.
Yeah.
Dilophosaurus.
Loved those. And I mean, like, it just, that was my jam when I was a kid.
Dude,
that movie did so much, too, because a whole generation of kids knew what a velociraptor, what a Dilophosaurus was.
Yeah, it's true.
We all just called them compies, the little guys, but... Percompasachnids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You nerd.
Oh, I was super, like, despite the fact that movie terrified me, I loved Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park was phenomenal. It was a phenomenal movie.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think of other stuff
that
freaked me out.
There was
irrationally.
I can't remember if it was a movie or a TV show, and I cannot remember it, but it was people in suits, and they were like these kangaroo looking guys. And it was like it was almost like a martial arts film. But it was these people, they looked like kangaroos. I can't remember
what?
It. I swear to God, it's on the tip of my tongue, and I know it. I gotta look this up, dog.
What?
Did anyone see, what was the name of this? Rock-a-Doodle?
I remember Rock-a-Doodle.
I remember Rock-a-Doodle, sure.
The beginning, like, section when there's the storm going on and, like, the evil owl things show up for the first time.
Oh, my God, that's like, so scary.
That whole sequence, terrifying.
I saw that when I was, like, 5, and it was so scary.
Mm-hmm.
I totally forgot about Rock-a-Doodle.
You know what one, a comedy, actually, I guess... Ghostbusters had some sequences as a kid. Like, when Zool grabs Dana...
That part freaked
me out. And even the first the first ghost that they encounter in the library, that sequence, like when I was a little kid, freaked me out.
Is it
weird? It's called The Warriors of Virtue. That's the name.
I do not know that movie.
Is it weird that one of my favorite films growing up, like from like 6 or 7, was RoboCop?
No.
Where he's just getting gunned down.
That's a terrifying thing.
That's terrifying, right? But I was like my little 6-year-old brain was like, ah, that's cool.
Yeah, he just got shot.
He got made into a robot.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's what, adult version of Inspector Gadget, effectively.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God, I loved RoboCop.
You were a weirdo as a kid.
I saw weird stuff. Terminator was also, you know what?
I saw Terminator way too young.
I saw Terminator 2 way too young, and the part where she has the dream about everyone getting blown up, that freaked me out.
Where she's
forgetting the nuke, and she's holding the fence.
Yes,
yeah. Omega literally just said it. The nuke in Terminator 2.
Yes.
Yeah, she's hanging onto the fence and just explodes into a skeleton.
Oh, that was intense, dude.
Yeah.
For me, that scene is when he cuts his arm open and rips his skin off.
Yep.
Because I got a thing with skin and nails. Yeah,
that didn't bother me because it was like, oh, I knew he was a machine.
But he does the thing that's like, and he just tears. Oh, so gross.
Oh, man. Because like Terminator 2, that's a pretty scary movie, right?
See, one was scarier, I think, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right, because once they paired Arnold with
Arnold's the good guy, and he's riding on a motorcycle with a shotgun, you're like, that's actually
Terminator
sweet.
1 is more like abject, like, terror.
It's supposed to be sci-fi terror,
It's sci-fi terror. Yeah.
But T2 is just straight sci-fi action.
It's literally the same. It's James Cameron. Once again, he's like, all right, well, the first movie was kind of almost a slasher movie, kind of a horror survival sort of thing. We're just making an action movie in the second one, and that's right. I am going to fly a helicopter under a tunnel. You can't stop me. If it crashes, oh well, we only have one. things that happen.
I mean, I just sat through Aliens last night. Another one
James
of
the Cameron.
James Cameron strikes again.
Brilliant.
Make it bigger.
You know what I realize is that the getup that the Colonial Marines are wearing is basically like the prototype for every like video game like space mercenary armor ever since then.
Every line of dialogue.
Yes,
the dropship pilot.
Oh my god!
All of it is stolen time and time again. Look at. Go play Halo 1 and be infuriated how much they just stole from Aliens, because it's just Aliens.
You know what my favorite character out of that movie is? Bishop.
Yeah.
Like, when he gets ripped in half by the Queen.
Oh, yeah.
What a phenomenal visual effect.
Absolutely.
What a great visual effect.
Omega Welt's awesome. In the chop, 5x5. Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Straight from that movie and stolen 1,000 times.
God, I love it. Why use CG when you could just use a puppet?
And green screen.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Just do that.
That's so much better. They always were a bit twitchy.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, we want to hear from you. Can you name some movies from your childhood that freaked you out? Maybe they weren't supposed to, but they really ended up freaking you out. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. And you don't need to tell us what you think about cats. I'm pretty sure I already know what it is. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, what are you hoping that Marvel is going to announce at their San Diego Comic-Con panel? That conversation will end up wrapping up today's Checkpoint XP Daily, but ahead next! That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to Gamer Church!
I still don't know what this means.
That's coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
I shall now read from the Book of Mario, chapter 13, verse 14. And he said, "It's a me, Mario."
Wow.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. I want to thank everyone listening on WXSM Tri-Cities, Tennessee, as well as ESPN Phoenix 620. Checkpoint XP Daily is now a part of the BPod Network at bpodstudios.com. For more great listening options, like If You Give a Rick a podcast for kids about the world of children's books and nerd radio. For everything from sci-fi to wrestling to all things nerdy in between, go to bpodstudios.com. The place to be for podcast discovery. So, we're not talking about actual gamer church.
Correct. No.
Right?
So, no. This is a story I saw earlier today on AV Club. And what they're talking about is creating a gaming-related ritual. So they're talking about he has a group of people who get up on their Discord every Sunday morning, 9 a.m., and they log on to Terraria, and they play Terraria. There's nothing groundbreaking or new about playing video games with your friends.
Sure.
But it's kind of the ritualizing of do it. It's the social interaction. Mm-hmm. It's all the things that you would theoretically get from church, save maybe saving your immortal soul. I don't know.
Right.
But you it's finding a way to get that out of your gaming group. And you put it in that light, I'm like, that's actually a really good idea. Well, I mean, like that.
How different is this, Robbie, from you getting together with your D&D group every Monday and Sunday? You have a Sunday group, too.
Yeah, Saturday group.
Saturday.
But it isn't any different, honestly. No, but in fact, it's a little bit more in line, I think, with the church, because as DM, I am their God.
So, I mean, but do you think that there's anything to that? Like, ritualizing or maybe habitualizing your routine around gaming and trying to, you know, do it that way. Something I've never done. I can't even speak to this at all.
You never had like a raid night?
No. Well, yeah, I had a raid night, but that's more coordinating schedules, right? Like,
I mean, that's part of it, because obviously even with D&D, it's part of it too. And I'd even go so far as to say, you know, what we used to do with, you know, the people who are in the Fallout Discord, you know, getting on every night, you know, for a couple weeks in a row and just doing, you know, queens and runs like that. Kind of part of it as well.
To me, doing raids in an MMO always felt more like band practice, right?
Right.
Like, you got to figure out when everyone's available and then get everyone there and then make sure that everyone brought the proper equipment. You know, band practice.
Yeah, but at the same time, though, if it's, you know, a ritual, if it's something that this is what we do at Tuesday at 8, for instance, right? I mean, how is that different from, you know, the same experience that some people get from church or some other group activity, right? Because more than just coming together and do this one thing, you know, a lot of times that spreads out into you become friends with these people if they're not already your friends.
Right.
But you become friends with these people. You talk about life. You talk about the things that you're going through. Some people have gone so far as to date and marry people that they have in raid groups, just like people find people to date and marry
and
at church.
Sure,
here's where I think maybe the difference is, Nate, because I mean, I've been in a lot of the same situations that we're trying to tribute to, you know, the raid night, playing Fallout and stuff like that. The difference with those, and I think bringing up my D&D group is probably the best example that I have, is if we skip a week for some reason, I don't know what to do with myself on that day. Like, it's Monday night now. We're not doing what we normally do. I feel a little lost without it. Whereas if it's suddenly not raid night, you find something else to do. If you're not
never
doing
felt
queens
this.
In Fallout, you find something else to do.
Yeah, I've never felt this ever.
I get that exactly, though, because like when I used to do, you know, raid nights and stuff,
like
if I miss that,
forward to it as well.
Raid night, not so much. Raid night to me always felt like more of a part-time job.
Yeah.
Like that's the analog I have for raid night.
Well, you were also playing a certain game.
That's fair. But when I think about like playing, you know, Star Wars on Sundays. I would be disappointed and feel like I missed out on something if I didn't get to do that.
I don't know. Like, I feel like maybe now I'm missing out on something by not having this.
Well, I mean, you also don't have a soul, so I mean, that might be part of it as well.
That's right. I mean, well, my heart is blackened and, you know,
crusted over.
Huge void in my chest, so.
No, it's true. I mean, but to you guys, like, because I never had a big, you know, static raid group or a big link shell or, you know, guild or anything like that.
There must have been a certain sort of ritual to, like, fighting games, though, and stuff.
Not really. I mean, really? Because the very ephemeral nature,
like the sort of pick up and play
nature of fighting games, quickly goes from I saw you lit like at the barbershop that day, and I was like, "Hey, bro, come over tomorrow so we can play Street Fighter."
Right.
It was more like that.
Right.
The closest thing I have like is soccer for me on Sundays, to where like, dog, if I'm in soccer, like I'm in a bad mood. Like I've gotten in fights with my girlfriend because I wanted to go play soccer because she knows that's what I do on Sundays, and we got to not go do something else.
See, like I'm always kind of like a get it in where you can type of gamer, right? Mm-hmm. Like I'm always looking for opportunities, downtime where I can, you know, plug in a couple of minutes here and there, and then, you know, go on with my day. It's really like the thought of like I'm going to put this on my schedule. I'm going to make this a point. I'm going to make this a thing that I do at this time every single week. week is really foreign to me.
Yeah.
And I don't know what kind of benefit it would give to me. Like that, like this is how foreign it is to me. Like I don't even understand why someone would do it.
Well, I don't think that it's something that you try to plan out. Like I don't think that you should go home and be like, all right, you know, there's benefits to this and I need to figure out how to do it. It just happens, you know, like the whole D&D thing. We all enjoy it and we found a day
sure.
that worked for us. And even in this example, the story that you found, just a bunch of friends that play Terraria and thought, why don't we make a day where we just all get together and,
You know what? Maybe I do understand this feeling, because when we would do Limit Break Radio weekly, our old podcast about Final Fantasy XIV, mm-hmm. when we would miss a week, I felt like I was missing something there.
That's fair.
Sort of. I mean, this is more like talking about the idea of like it being a church, not a cult. But I mean, they're very similar to one another, so I get it.
That's reasonable. I think about like back in the day, GameWorks Thursday nights, you could get in and play from like, I think it was like 9 till whenever they closed at like
sure.
1.
Yeah.
For like $10. It was unlimited gaming for like
$10.
Yeah,
I remember that.
Me and my
deal.
Friends went every Thursday night, like really? Clockwork. And if we missed it, it was a huge bummer. I didn't see my friends that week. It was like, that was an important thing for me.
I have never really had anything like that. You know, like I've had like, I don't know, Thai Thursdays where I get Thai every Thursday.
Well, that's,
and it gets increasingly hotter and hotter, but it wasn't like a point of social contact.
I think that's the problem. I think that you just have an aversion to like socializing with
people.
That's
part of it. You know what? That's part of it. And I would always resent my other raid members when we would have to like redo any of the timing and stuff. Cause it's like, I don't want to have to reschedule stuff in my own life to be able to play a video game. Like it was almost like, if the group mentality was like, it's better to move to this night, I was like, you know what, I don't need to be, you know, I don't want to be a part of any club that'll have me.
But at the same time, I think that it's about the value you placed on what you guys are trying to achieve, as well as what it, you know, the people that you're doing it
that's
with.
That's the other part, is that it had no value to me. At the end of the day, it wasn't as important to me to complete or clear any of that stuff as it was to the other members of my group. We want to hear from you. What is your ritualized gaming habit? What do you consider your gamer church? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, tomorrow is the San Diego Comic-Con Marvel panel.
Oh, yeah.
And I've got an important question for you. What are you hoping to hear out of that panel? That conversation is ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointXP.com.
San Diego Comic-Con, aka Mecca for Nerds, is going on this weekend. I wish I was going to San Diego Comic-Con.
You've been before, right?
I did. I went once, and it was awesome, but I haven't had a chance to go back, and I would love the opportunity to go back. Welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on CBS Sports Radio, 1300 in Baltimore, as well as the Ticket 1230 in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. Make sure you're following us on our officially partnered Twitch channel over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. We've got a ton of new emotes, including two new emotes, thanks to the generosity of our growing live community. You can celebrate the launch of the Not Your Player 2 podcast, a podcast about esports and video games from the female perspective with the brand new Sarah emote. Check it out over at our Twitch page. That's twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. Marvel is bringing their cinematic universe to San Diego Comic-Con, which is why it's kind of a big deal. That's one of the reasons that it's such a big deal. Big announcements. It has become the place where TV and movies come to talk about and get really nerdy and into all of the properties that they have channels.
And this year is an important one because it's been a minute since we got any concrete information, because with the Infinity Saga coming to an end,
that's right,
they've been holding everything back. You guys realize that despite it filming, Black Widow hasn't officially been announced yet.
That is true. It has not.
They're waiting to pardon my phrasing, blow one hell of a load tomorrow.
But so, no, you're absolutely correct. And here's the biggest, you know, sort of, I don't want to say issue, but the biggest point of contention that I have with you know, the MCU and Marvel right now is that the genie is out of the bottle now. The expectation now is so high that
that's true.
It's not that I'm not sure that they could do it, but I don't know how you can measure up to what they accomplished.
Well, it's going to be difficult, I think, because you're starting over, essentially.
Yes, you're starting over in a certain degree. But I also think, listen, you know, Marvel has shown that they know how to do their properties very well. So you have a couple of properties that are returning to their purview that have done historically
terribly.
Astronomically well as comic books.
Well, yeah.
Not very well as films.
No.
Astronomically well as comic books. And we know that it's really the comic book nerds that are driving the interest in a lot of these movies. Like, yes, it has mainstream appeal, but it's also fundamentally the people who grew up on the books that are driving so much positive viewer response.
Well, and those things are feeding each other, right? Because there has been a renewed interest in comics and in comic culture directly because of the MCU.
Yeah, it's
cyclical.
Yep, yeah.
So, you know, I think the thing is that they've done such a great job with the MCU so far. And what is it, 20 plus movies? 23 movies.
Good God! Wow.
11 years and 22 or 23.
So
movies.
We're talking about over the course of a decade, they were able to tell one coherent story.
Yeah.
Over the course of 20 movies.
That's right.
That not only is unprecedented and ridiculous. Now the expectation is going to be for them to do it again, better and bigger.
Feige has also said, though, going into whatever this next phase, this next saga is. They did what they did with the Infinity Saga and with Thanos, right? Yeah. And by all means, it should not have worked as well as it does. But he said going into this new phase, we're looking at telling these stories in a different way. So we could even be looking at something completely different from the Infinity Saga and the way that was done.
No, you're absolutely right. But I think it's the critical factor of having marquee properties like they don't have Spider-Man completely, but they've got creative control over Spider-Man.
Yeah.
They've got the Fantastic Four and they've got the X-Men. Those are three huge, and I mean huge, components of what they can put together for this next phase. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's a lot that's compelling out of the three of those properties that you can pull.
Here's my question for you, though, because we know that they plan, you know, like a good 5-6 years in advance.
Sure.
And they only recently got Fantastic Four and X-Men this year.
Right.
Do you actually expect to see concrete announcements about those two properties out of Marvel?
That's really, you know what, that's really tough, because here's what I expect. The bare minimum that I expect is that those will be some teases that we get in the next phase. I literally don't know what to expect out of the next phase.
Yeah, see, I don't think that I would actually want to see, like, straight up, here's the X-Men movie for 2021. What I'd like to do is, as we're watching movies over the next few years, is see little Easter eggs and stuff and be like, could that... Is that just a teaser, an Easter
right.
egg, or is that going to end up being something 2-3 years from now?
I think you very much do that with X-Men. I think the property that you pull the trigger on getting into
Fantastic
very quickly
Four.
Is fantastic.
I agree with that.
Yeah. No, I agree, because I think you've already sort of opened up the cosmic nature of the MCU.
Totally. So, and the time travel right. aspect of it. I mean, come on. You need a super scientist like Reed Richards in there.
And that was the issue with Fantastic Four, is how do you introduce them? Because we got to remember how small that the MCU actually began and sure. what it ballooned into. So I think at this point, this is a proper, this could be a proper entryway for a IP like the Fantastic Four. I agree with you. I think the X-Men is so beloved by people who are comic fans, and people you want can, the X-Men to work.
You can tease so, that out. You can tease that out so well.
So bad
that you're right.
You could have, you know, you could allude to the X-Men for nigh on 4 or 5 years before you do anything.
You have a nurse in some scene, you know, talking about some Marine who had a miraculous recovery after, you know, getting a leg put back on. Was that Wolverine she's talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
All of that. Anything. Oh, my God. There's some young girl in upstate New York and she's been moving things with her mind. Oh, my God. Is that Jean Grey?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everything that you could do in these films for the next 5 years could allude to sort of this latent awakening of
sure.
power.
Yeah.
But in terms of the announcements at Comic-Con, Robbie, I think I'm going to lean on what Nate said. I don't think that you could do anything concrete. I think
agree.
It would be irresponsible to announce anything concrete right mm-hmm. now because you don't have Spider-Man all the way. Did just get X-Men.
Remember how long it really took to get the entire scope of what we were going to expect out of Marvel, right? Like, they came...
We knew Thanos at the end of the Avengers, and that was already, what, 5-6 movies
that
in?
That was 5 movies
right?
in.
But yeah, but exactly. That was after a year and a half of already making the movies.
And it wasn't until Thor Dark World that we realized they were going the Infinity Stones route.
Well, right. But when did they get on stage and map out all of the stuff, right?
Ooh,
that was phase three.
That was going into phase three.
Yeah, it was going
right?
into phase three where they announced Guardians 2 and the rest of that stuff.
Here's what I want out of the SDCC panel. I do not want to know what the next big arc is. I want to figure
Fair.
That out for myself.
Fair.
Right?
Well,
I just want to know.
Whatever the next big team-up
yes,
is,
yeah.
that's when we should get a clue
yes,
as to what it is.
100%. But I want to see some kind of like...
A roadmap?
Like more recognizable names coming out of the first phase of whatever comes next,
We need to know what T'Challa's up to now that
totally.
He's back. Right? We need a Black Panther 2.
And
without a doubt.
I think that you know, with the Easter eggs that we already have, that brings in Namor.
It could very well. Yep. We need another Doctor Strange. We need to know
yep.
what he's
yep.
up to now.
Yeah.
Captain Marvel. Probably due for another one.
Captain Marvel.
Yep.
I think we need some of the... Here's what I'm afraid of. What I'm afraid of is because we already have a bunch of these characters that were introduced near the end of the Infinity Saga, but haven't had a chance to really have their due yet.
Sure.
And I'm afraid that they're now also going to start introducing more younger characters. Because here's what you have to realize is all of the, quote-unquote, the old guard, right? They got brought together by Tony and by Cap, but they got their own shit they're dealing with. Right.
Sure. Yeah,
and if
yeah,
you
yeah.
think that any of them are suddenly going to come back and be Avengers and follow some young hero at this point, I don't think there's going to be enough respect there to suddenly be like, oh yeah, sure, you know, we'll come and follow.
No, I think they're tangentially involved. They're kind of on the fringe. They're on the outskirts,
right?
You talk about somebody like Tony Stark, and you talk about what Tony's able to achieve through, you know, his technology, and then you could show the effect that has on society
yes.
as a whole.
So that means that if they are going to work towards another Avengers type movie, which they will at some point, you do that with younger heroes. So I'm afraid that the next phase isn't gonna bring us back and focus on, you know, the Black Panther and the Doctor Strange and the Ant-Man. They're gonna start rushing more characters in.
I disagree.
See, I think the move there is to pepper in new characters as you go on.
I agree.
Yeah.
That's how I see you do it.
Because you know there's rumors about like Shang-Chi.
Yeah.
Hulkling.
But who? Who is Shang-Chi?
I had actually never heard of Shang-Chi prior to this either.
Do we know?
I think he's like related to like Iron Fist.
Possible.
What?
Yeah.
I've seen rumors of...
Because Iron Fist went over so well.
I've seen rumors of Hulkling and Iron Lad.
I don't know about Hulkling. Iron Lad I could see.
Maybe.
I see Iron Heart.
Iron Heart
would be great.
For sure. But Iron Lad had some kind of weird connection to the Fantastic Four, right?
Iron Heart?
No, Iron Lad.
Oh, Iron Lad. Yeah, I think he did.
Yeah.
But the whole thing is, I don't necessarily think you need to make them, quote unquote, young heroes. You just make them different heroes.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you introduce the Fantastic Four. You don't introduce an 18-year-old Reed Richards.
Well,
that
guy should already
be grown.
You're right. Not in the case of the Fantastic Four. But, I mean, look, the whole sort of younger hero is obviously being done really well with Peter. And, like, when you decide to bring in Ms. Marvel, Kamala Khan.
Yeah.
She's not going to be an older adult.
No.
You know, definitely put her, you know, in there as a younger hero as well.
Yeah.
But I think that you have a chance here now of introducing the new era of heroes as being younger, because then obviously
I don't think you can skew it too young.
I don't think
right? I agree with that as well.
You still have to give stuff there for your incumbent audience.
No,
plus you've still got the whole cosmic aspect with Thor and Guardians that has to be explored more too.
So okay, here's how you
is the real reason we need this, is because right now we have no idea what direction anything is going with, and we go off the rails with this. The reason I need this panel to be here now so that we can focus in on what we know is coming.
But here's how you cover both of those. This is how you bring in new heroes, but you also cover the cosmic aspect. Is you introduce the Illuminati. You introduce, because you already got Tony, you can introduce Reed, you can loop in Professor X at the end, you introduce Namor.
What?
Like, that's what you do, because that way you can address having a cosmic aspect and having new heroes take care of the sort of everyday stuff. And then you have these guys who you found out at the end of it are basically knowing about all this stuff.
Joe, you're being real silent over there. Bring some stability.
Mister, I worked at a comic book shop.
Yeah. So I think as we move into the next phase, I do think that there is going to be a bit of a youth movement, but I don't think it's going to be through them having I don't think we're going to see a Ms. Marvel movie. I think we'll see Ms. Marvel appearing in someone else's movie.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The same way that we saw Hawkeye first in Thor.
Exactly. Like, I think Ms. Marvel's a good place to stick with, because we just saw in the Marvel's Avengers game, now they are teasing, they basically confirmed Ms. Marvel's going to be in it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you can read the context clues. I think she's a very interesting character to kind of play opposite someone like Peter Parker in the next kind of phase of the whatever the new Avengers are going to be called.
They have Disney Plus now too, which they said is going to directly tie into the MCU.
See, but I don't want them to lean too heavy on that, man, because the whole thing is, you want the MCU. I understand Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter built upon the MCU and stuff, but I don't,
not in the right way, which they have also acknowledged. Here's what Disney Plus is for, right? Because Elizabeth Olsen has actually came out and said what WandaVision is more concretely, that it's going to be 6 episodes, 45 minutes long, where it takes place in the 50s, where Scarlet Witch and the Vision have a family. And this is basically how she is dealing with the loss of Vision and how her powers are manifesting.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at the way that they handled the Hulk, he had a very obvious character arc throughout Age of Ultron and Thor Ragnarok, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
But it also, it's hard to have individual character arcs in big films like that, because you also don't want to take away from what's actually happening in the film. I think that's what they're now going to start using Disney Plus for.
But my point is that you do that and run the risk of people saying, well, why am I doing both? Because what you want is, you want all that to be supplemental. You want that to be optional. You don't want people to have to mandate for you to go watch Disney Plus for the story and the films to make sense. And that's why I think
people are going
to
do it, though.
I don't want them to run the risk of that, because I didn't watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I didn't watch Agent Carter. I feel like I didn't lose anything.
You didn't.
I didn't feel like. So if they're talking about building even more into Disney Plus, then yes, you will run the risk of not having the full context by going into the films.
Well, what about this, though? What if WandaVision is just building a step for another series, maybe not a movie, right? But a series that, because that's the perfect setup for House of M right there.
Yeah, but if
that goes
saying,
into, like, you know, the House of M, you don't, what main cast characters do you need to pull off House of M?
The X-Men.
Pretty much.
Yeah, but you could pretty much supplant the X-Men in that for anyone.
Anybody with superpowers.
That's right.
Yeah. After the way that they handled the Infinity Saga, and again, we had so many conversations where we're like,
what are they going to do with Adam Warlock?
We know that Adam Warlock's not going to be there, so we asked ourselves, who is the Adam Warlock? And there wasn't one.
They
just said, yeah.
They'll find a way to do it.
It killed Tony.
Yeah.
That's how, instead of having Adam Warlock, Tony dies.
Instead of having someone who can handle the power, no one did.
Tony dies and Cap goes through time.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Worked for me.
It did. It worked awesome.
It worked really well. Yeah. I have no complaints.
Yeah. I just think that this series is already huge. The stories are already huge. For as much as I want Disney Plus to be cool and for me to have reasons to go watch it, I just still think that you want the films to be the number one way where you get information.
Of course. Yeah.
And I feel like the more they put on Disney Plus, the more that people are going to have to go over here.
I think it's just going to be Easter egg stuff. Man, I think it is going to be along the line of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. where if you didn't see it, you're not missing out on anything.
But if you
saw it, like at the very end where Jarvis comes out, you go, oh, that's Jarvis. That's it.
We'll see. But literally,
because you watched all of Agent Carter.
I did.
That was the only thing in that entire series where you saw the movies and went, oh, that's who that is.
That's the only part that crossed over into the movies.
Right. That's sad. That bums me out.
Robbie, I share your fear, though, because at the end of the day, Disney owns Disney Plus. They didn't own Netflix.
They were reliant on
Netflix to continue playing
ball.
With them.
And even with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., that was ran by Marvel TV, not Marvel movies.
Disney TV. It was ABC.
What I mean is that Feige did not run Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Feige is in charge of the Disney Plus shows. That's part of his plans, and he has promised that what fans thought they were going to get out of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., he's like, we dropped the ball on that.
Right.
You are getting that in Disney Plus.
Let me ask you, connect meaningfully. Let me ask you, though, where at what point does the bottom kind of fall out of that? Like, the interest, you know what I mean?
I don't know.
See, because...
But that's what I'm saying. That's fatigue. It's content fatigue.
Okay, but look at something like Endgame, where people not saying the same thing, where it's like, well, fine, do I have to go and watch all the other movies to get what's happening? Not necessarily. There are some people who just went and saw Endgame, not seeing the other stuff, and still enjoyed what they watched.
But if you didn't see those other films, that film is half as impactful.
But people still enjoy it. Look, I'm not saying that your concerns aren't well-founded.
Mm-hmm.
They absolutely are. But there were also a lot of big concerns with doing what the hell they did with Infinity Saga, and they blew it out of the water.
I just remember being concerned that the bottom had fallen out when they announced Guardians of the Galaxy. And I was very, very wrong.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that every time Marvel, it looks like Marvel has made a misstep with their MCU, it hasn't been. You know what I mean?
In Feige we trust, right, Robbie?
In Feige we trust.
It's, you're kind of not wrong.
They are, to me today, what Squaresoft was to RPGs in the 90s.
Well, look what happened to Squaresoft.
Mm-hmm. But Squaresoft got bought up by Enix. This time, Disney bought up Fox, not the other way around.
Question, what can they walk out on stage and announce that will put you off?
That'll make you actively angry.
Here's five shows that if you want the maximum experience of the MCU, you could join Disney Plus and watch. I don't want that. Give me the...
Sounds like you're going to be...
I think you might be angry.
I think you're going to be upset.
And I know it because I want the movies to be the number one attention grabber. I don't want another subscription. I don't want another subscription, y'all.
Wait.
Flat out.
Are you not getting Disney Plus?
No.
Oh, well, I think you're just wrong.
Yeah.
I don't want it.
Scrap any other subscription you have and upgrade to Disney Plus.
I'm pretty much looking at Netflix.
I'm axing Netflix.
The dead weight.
I watch way too much stuff on Netflix.
I used to. I don't anymore.
I watch a handful of things when they come out on Netflix, and they're Netflix specific shows. Like, it used to be Orange is the New Black, but I don't care. I stopped caring about that.
I'm out on House of Cards.
Stranger Things
is in the books. I don't have to think about that
for another year.
The next season of Stranger Things is filming soon.
Is it really?
You're telling me that if they decide to come out with a limited run series about what Shuri's doing with the new place that they put up in LA there where Killmonger used to live, you ain't getting Disney Plus to watch that?
He totally is.
Look me in the eyes and tell me you ain't getting Disney Plus
he
to watch
totally
that.
Totally is.
Look me in the
but
eyes.
He's gonna be
Norris.
Mad about it.
That's
he's
fine.
Gonna
he can be mad about it, but admit you're getting it. That's all I need.
I'd hate it. Yeah. I'd hate it so much.
He'd be rage eating popcorn as he's watching.
I would. I'd hate it. Okay, let me rephrase, because I still don't want to buy another subscription.
No, but sure. I get that.
No. But let me rephrase. If they come out and they don't give us anything that gives us concrete, sort of a concrete plan of what we should look forward to with the films.
Oh, sure.
And all they give us is Disney Plus
stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I don't see that.
No,
yeah, that I will agree with.
We are walking away from this, I think we can safely say, with a roadmap. I think we'll get the usual, you know, 2020, 2021.
Yeah, we'll get a whole bunch of stuff.
With three to four titles
for
each of those years.
What, Robbie, for you, what could they come out and announce that's actively going to piss you off?
I don't know, man. I think even if they were to come out with something that I'm not even keen on, I would still be cautiously optimistic. You know, this.
So the Squirrel Girl movie slated for 2020, you're in.
Yo, Squirrel Girl.
I'll take my pants off.
I'll watch it.
Dude, I'm in.
Squirrel Girl's awesome.
Especially, you know who they need to team Squirrel Girl up with? Deadpool.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I need that in my life. Squirrel Girl and Deadpool.
Could
mm-hmm. I could see that. So there's literally nothing that they could come out that would upset you.
Upset me? No. I gave them kind of like a raised
eyebrow. We're bringing
eyebrow.
Back some of the Netflix shows, and all three of them are Iron Fist.
That's the only one we thought was worth bringing back.
Look, when I saw that they had announced Shang-Chi, because I had no context for him, I was a little bit like, okay. Like, no, they may get a raised eyebrow out of me, but I'm in, man.
I'm just saying, dude, there's got to be something that they would announce that actively you would be like, you know what?
Fuck you. I've got one. Here's what they can announce. All right. Black Widow. After that, there's going to be 2 years downtime before we do another movie.
Okay.
There you go. See?
That's fair.
I'd be pissed.
That's fair.
We got this whole
I'm
thing
already pissed about
stuff.
The Black Widow movie because I hate her as a character, so whatever.
There you go. I'm just excited to see that new Great Lakes Adventures movie. That'll be
the
really
Great Lakes
something.
Avengers.
That needs
Avengers,
a Disney Plus show.
Shut up.
That needs a Disney Plus show. The Great Lakes Avengers.
That would be fun.
So we can find out what happens to Big Bertha.
See, there you go. That's a good Disney Plus show because I'm not paying money to go see that movie.
Great Lakes Adventure, The Death of a Mortal Man.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That's dope.
We get introduced to Leather Boy officially. For some reason, Monkey Joe is there and gets killed.
Leather Boy as sort of like a Kilgrave style, really weird type of kid. You could do Leather Boy pretty.
Leather Boy doesn't have powers. He's just a dude.
Yeah.
They can figure it
out. There's nothing
he's
about
just
him.
A dude.
He just shows up thinking it's a BDSM convention and it's not.
And turns out he's a serial killer.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That don't creep y'all out.
No, it creeps me out a lot, actually. It's terrifying.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a full archive of podcasts and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday live at 4 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Solis. And of course, thanks to my co-hosts who pulled double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP Daily. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's A. Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.